Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good day, this is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today, we're right in the middle of the month of October.
Yeah.
Because if you're listening to the show, it's anywhere from the 11th to the 15th.
That's right.
Yeah. So you're like halfway to Halloween. Do you know what you're going to wear yet?
That's a secret. I don't want to talk about that on the air.
No, I understand.
People might be a little too scary for people.
I'm going to dress up as a liberal. Go ahead. Go with it.
I don't even think you could pull that off.
You're right. We have two guests in our studio today that y'all won't know anything about if I hadn't told you, but we're being observed. And so
it's kind of like having the principal in the classroom while you're teaching. That's
exactly
kind of
right.
What it feels like.
And so if the show is not to its usual low standard, that's why.
What, you mean it's going to be even lower?
No, be better.
Okay.
Pay attention, George. Let's stay with the program.
Wait, so you're going to like dye your hair blue and.
I'm going to feel pretty that day.
Okay.
I'm going to carry Biden signs.
Day. Ooh.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That might be too far-fetched.
So other than Israel being attacked, what's going on politically?
Nothing. That's it. I mean, that's world news right now.
I find it interesting that we have approximately 20 American citizens held hostage and the White House has no comment. Of course, you may have forgotten it already. That could be why.
You know, it's really interesting. I was kind of scrolling through the news about it last night and reading about it. And there's a lot of people, you know, the Israel-Palestine conflict has been going on for a long time. I mean, it's been going on for...
Since Israel was formed.
Yeah, for a long time. And so there's a lot of people that are on both sides of the aisle. But there's a lot of people that are supporting Hamas in all of this. And... you know, regardless of where you fall on the spectrum, it's interesting that most of the people that are supporting Hamas and the attacks on Israel would be the first ones killed by Hamas if they were over there. But people just don't. I don't know. It's scary times for sure.
It is that.
Yeah.
My name is Tommy Pate. I am a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
And I'm George Pate. I am also a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
We are an independent registered investment advisory firm in Aiden, North Carolina, right outside of Greenville. Our phone number is 252-304-1019. Got it right again, didn't I?
Yeah.
252-304-1019.
And again.
Twice. We're on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, that's www.thejourneysgroup.com. Website has a variety of financial articles that rotate through it. It has our schedule if you want to get an appointment with us, our contact information. It has, links to YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Upcoming events, which we just finished one this week, which was our seminar on Social Security, Medicare, and retirement. Which was well attended. I appreciate both those people being there, and
it didn't cost us too much to have them there.
Exactly,
so you know, I appreciated it even more.
Also has links to our podcast, Taking Care of Business. So if you have missed a episode of Taking Care of Business and want to go back and listen to it, that's the place to go.
And I just saw out of the corner of my eye, one of our studio audience guests is nodding her head with approval. So I think we have taken care of all of our marketing things.
Excellent. Well, let's just close the show out then. All right.
What are we talking about today?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't decided yet, but I better get to it. During the seminar that we did the last two nights, one of the things we talked about was Social Security and Medicare. And we're going to talk about some of the... I don't want to say shortcomings of Social Security, but some of the things that you have to be aware of, you know. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is a push to mean test Social Security and Medicare. And mean testing in normal redneck English means that if you're above a certain income level, you get less or none at all. If you're below a certain income level, you get more or all of it.
It's interesting because it kind of feels like there's already sort of a means test in place, specifically with Medicare. It's mean tested in the sense that the more income you make or the higher your household income, the higher your premium is. And so it already seems like there's sort of a penalty, so to speak, for being a higher income earner. And the same thing with Social Security, I mm-hmm. guess. After you make a certain amount, you don't get any more benefits.
I think it's interesting and ironic, too, that the more you make, the higher income earners pay more, as you said, in the Social Security and Medicare. So the ones that are paying for the program are the ones some people are saying shouldn't be getting the benefit.
Should get
of
less. Yeah,
I don't get that anyway. All right. The idea, though, is that really they're both means tested already, and you kind of dance around that issue anyway. For several ways is that, and it's not intentionally mean tested. I don't think when they put this stuff in place, people did it to limit what the wealth it would have, but that's the way it works. If you are a high income earner, you receive substantially less benefits percentage wise than a low income earner. The average Social Security payment in the United States is about $1,650 a month. If you are making, let's say, 100 grand a year, your Social Security is going to be about $3,000. Maybe not quite the high, maybe $2,800. If you are making $1 million a year, your Social Security is going to be about $500 more. Once you get past a certain level, it doesn't really have a lot of impact. Remember, Social Security was designed for blue collar workers. It was Roosevelt signed it in law in 1935, I think, mm-hmm. As an answer to the Great Depression. And the idea was that if everything was lost, you'd still be able to have some benefit from the federal government to help you retire.
Yeah, it was supposed to be kind of a bridge program while we got through the Depression and then the war. There were several things that just kind of built on. And then by the time the 60s rolled around, when it was supposed to end, it was such an integral part of society. Let me ask this, and this is just a curiosity question. Is there a maximum amount of Social Security that is like a maximum benefit that somebody get? Do you know off the top of your head if there is such a number?
Do I know off the top of my head? Of course I don't. No, I don't think there's a maximum, but I think it becomes so minuscule once you get past about, if you earn more than $160,000 a year, once you pass 160, they stop taking FICA taxes out. So that would reduce the amount of money going in. But for those of you that were not in our workshop, and why, I don't know. I mean, what a great way to spend 6 hours, but anyway, 4 hours. Social Security, again, is based on, I'm sorry, Social Security is based on the 35 years highest living wage. So they take the best 35 years of your income, they put it into the Social Security formula. That's what your benefit's based on. Now, it's designed, as I said earlier, to be a blue collar program because the first amount of your income, and I think it's $15,000, is replaced at 90%. The second bracket, which I think is like 15.1 to 35 maybe, is replaced at 32%. Anything above that is replaced at 15%. So if you make $1 million and have made $1 million for the last 35 years, which
would be nice.
I think the only people that do that are politicians and marketing people.
Marketing people.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Since you make $1 million, the vast majority of your income is based on the lowest percentage that Social Security will pay. So when you look at a person that makes $50,000 and a person that makes $500,000, yes, the person that makes $500,000 is getting a bigger benefit, but percentage-wise, is substantially worse than what the $50,000 person makes.
Yeah, you think about it this way. If a person making $50,000 and that's what they've made for the past 35 years is getting a $1,500 a month benefit. All right, that's $20,000 a year, let's just mm-hmm. say. Easy math. All right, that is 40% of their income
yep.
is coming from Social Security.
Yep.
You compare that to somebody that's making $500,000 and has made $500,000 for 35 years. Let's say their benefit is $3,000, just for easy math. That's not even 10% of their income. That's probably 7 or 8% of their income. And so even though they're getting twice the benefit, like you said, on a percentage basis, it doesn't even come close to equating. And so I guess, again, in that sense, it's already kind of means tested.
It's kind of means tested. I mean, I've been in practice 40 years. The biggest Social Security benefit I've ever seen was $4,200 a month. While we're talking about things you need to pay, I'll go ahead and do it. We tell people in our seminar, make sure that you get a Social Security statement every year. Now, in theory, they're supposed to send it out to you, but they
sometimes
they do it every 3 or 4 or 5 or mm-hmm. 6 or 10 years. So you can go to socialsecurity.gov and put in your social security number, your name, that kind of thing, set up an account, and they will give you a copy of your social security statement, which tells you what your benefit's going to be. But more importantly, it shows you your income, your 35 years of income. And I have never seen one that wasn't wrong. I looked at mine yesterday, and there were 5 years that were wrong. Now, it's easy to fix. You just send a tax return to Social Security, and they fix it. But like 7 years ago, according to Social Security, I had a 50% drop in income between year 7 and year 6. And I know that's not right. And so we went back and looked, and like I said, they adjust it. But if they don't have your income right, that screws up your benefit.
It makes a huge difference.
And I have never seen anybody have more income than
less.
Yeah, it's always off a little bit. So we tell people, check your Social Security statement, look at it, look at the income, make sure it's right.
Yeah, because it's very easy to fix. Like I said, just call your CPA and say, hey, they got this wrong. They'll contact the IRS or Social Security and send in the tax return. It's super easy to get taken care of, and it happens all the time. But if you're not keeping on top of this stuff, it makes a huge impact when it does come time to start taking your benefit.
All right, the second means testing is Social Security is taxed progressively. Not flat, but progressively. The more you make, the more Social Security, the more tax you have. When you, and oddly enough, when they figure out your income in retirement, they count half of the Social Security benefit as income.
To figure out how much of the benefit is going to be taxed, yeah.
So if you're making $2,000 a month with Social Security, they count $1,000 a month of income. Today, if you are jointly married, filing jointly, and have income in excess of $44,000, they tax 85% of your Social Security benefit.
I just had to learn this with CFP, and I'm shuddering over here just thinking about it.
Totally understand. So if you make less than $44,000, then your Social Security isn't taxed, or it's taxed at a much lower rate. Mm-hmm. Now, let's be real. And here, I think the median income household in North Carolina is like $45,000, and we're a pretty rural state. So I really don't think there's a lot of impact with this, because I would think most joint households make more than $44,000. But the point is that if you're a lower income, you don't get taxed on your Social Security, or you get taxed very little.
Yeah, very, very much less of it is taxed. Yeah.
And so when people go, what do you mean test Social Security? You can look back at them and say, it's already been done. You know, the more you make, the less percentage you get paid. And the more you make, the higher the taxes you pay. It's kind of a double whammy. Now, having said all that, is it a viable program? And the answer is yes. If you're not looking at your Social Security benefit as part of your retirement, you're making a significant mistake. I don't want to say it's free money, because you've been paying taxes all this year, but it's your money. And by the time you count in the spousal benefits, it can be worth a lot of money. Let's talk about me, because I'm not violating any confidentiality laws talking about me. My Social Security benefit is about $3,800 a month. So my wife, who doesn't work outside the home, very tactfully put, her benefit would be 50% of mine, which is $1,900. So our combined Social Security benefit is $5,400 a month. Well, that's significant. And for me to ignore that is insane. We also found out during the course of this workshop that if your spouse, let's be woke, if your spouse has never worked and doesn't qualify for Social Security, he or she can still get a full spousal benefit.
Yeah, it was interesting. When I was kind of walking around the room helping people the other night during our workshop, during our retirement ciphering, and looking at people's totals at the end of the night, their household Social Security income when they retired was anywhere from, on the low end was like $3,000, on the high end was between $5,000 and $6,000. And if your income goal is, let's just say, $8,000 a month, and you got $6,000 a month coming in already, you'd be crazy to ignore that. But so often when it comes to planning, financial planning, I feel like a lot of people in this industry just kind of forget it or don't factor it in. And it's a huge player in people's retirement. Number one, because it's guaranteed. And so that's a big thing. But number two, because it does often play such a large percentage into their income.
Well, and you know, a lot of people go, yeah, but probably the most common question we have is, am I going to get Social Security? Is it going to run out? All right. Social Security is funded by two things. Obviously, one is the FICA taxes, and the other is the interest that the Social Security Trust Fund earns. Now, Social Security Trust Fund is invested in government bonds, T-bills and T-bonds, so it ain't like it's earning a bunch anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In 2035 is what they're predicting now, the trust fund will be empty. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't get Social Security anymore, but it does mean that the funding, which would be all FICA taxes at that point, would only be able to cover 77% of the Social Security benefits. So something's going to have to be done in the next decade, essentially.
Yeah, and people that are freaking out, you know, that are already receiving Social Security or are going to go on it before that 2035, they'll come up with some sort of solution, whether it be raising the minimum age for Social Security or reducing future benefits. They're not going to go back and penalize people that are already drawing it because, again, like we said earlier, it's such an ingrained part of our society now. I mean, it's been around for so long. People are so used to it. It would cause a nationwide riot. I mean, it would be such a rocking of the boat that they will come up with some sort of solution.
Well, one of the things that got in trouble is you've got less people working, and because of the baby boom, you've got more people drawing money out.
Yeah, they're retiring earlier and drawing it earlier.
And so that's what's dragging it down a good bit. So you can't fix that. You can't make people work. But what I think will happen is I think they'll move the age to probably 68 or even 70. And I think they'll do what they do best, which is increase the FICA taxes.
Yeah, I told you one day, I said, the real irony is that I'm going to pay into this thing for the next, I don't know, 40-something years, and I don't even know that I'll get it. But I'm going to be paying for your benefit for the next however long.
Which I think is a fantastic concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, your generation is so greedy. You got to work on that. I taught you how to use a spoon. Well, actually, your mother did. Taught you how to use a spoon. Don't begrudge me my retirement years. Or I'll move in with you.
You know what? I will pay as much as I need to get you your benefit. I'll even put more into it if I have to.
That's what I thought. There we go. That's my boy. I knew there was something special about you.
You've always said there's something special about me.
Right. Swine. So anyway, what's the moral of the show today is that there are some interestingly prejudicial things about Social Security.
Sure.
If you're wealthy, but it's still a hardcore good benefit, and pay attention to it. We have never seen, as financial planners, we don't make a recommendation as to this is a good stock buy. We make a recommendation for the tools we use based on the plan that we designed. And one of the foundations of the financial plans that we designed is Social Security. Having said that, caveat, remember though that at some point, one of the spouses is going to die and you're going to lose that benefit. So you have to factor in that at some point you're going to lose
the lesser amount.
Yeah. So like, again, let's take my wife and I. If I'm 3,800, she's 1,900. When I die, and I'll die long before she is because she's much healthier than I am, then she will lose her 1,900, but she'll pick up most of my 3,800.
Yeah, and so in that situation, what we'll have to do at that point in that situation is find a way to replace that $1,900 of income. And again, that's something that I think a lot of people either don't know or they don't factor in. Mm-hmm. And so the question becomes, where is that money going to come from? And when we ask people that question, they're always kind of stunned because they don't, like I said, most people don't know that when one passes away, you don't get both of them, you get the higher amount. And so our job as planners, and this is why it's so important to work with a financial planner, because this is, we factor in all this stuff, we figure it all up, and we think about this stuff, whereas you know, normal people don't think about this stuff because it's not their job. No, seriously.
No, we're not normal. I agree with that.
But I mean, normal people don't think about this because they don't know this stuff. But that's why it's so important to work with a planner, because we factor this stuff in. We go ahead and put the pieces in place so that when that income becomes needed, the assets are there to start producing that income. And there's no question, there's no gap in income.
If you have questions about this, if you just want to challenge us, give us a call at 252-304-1019. Again, that's 252-304-1019. If you're a person you're working with has not discussed Social Security with you, bring it up. Because if you're, I would say, mid-50s on, it's going to be an extremely important part of your retirement, earlier than mid-50s. It's going to be part of your retirement. We just don't know what section it's going to play.
It'll just be, by the time you get there, it'll be so different that it is, I don't want to say it's impossible to plan for it, but it's pretty difficult to plan for it, because over the next 20, even 15 years, it'll probably change pretty dramatically.
It's got to change the next 10.
In the next 10 years, yeah. It'll change pretty dramatically. So if you're within that 10-year window, time to start thinking about it.
Yeah. Now, when we're doing the Social Security workshop, is there anything that you learned you didn't know?
No, because I know everything there is to know about it. Because I learned everything at the feet of the Social Security master. You see how I spun that? You see how that started off really arrogant, and then I spun that to sound respectful?
You spun it, but it didn't sound respectful. It came across as, what's where I'm looking for? Oh, I know, condescending.
You don't even know what that means.
I do, too. I looked it up. You're walking down steps. It's you're a convict and walking down steps. You're condescending.
No, I'm trying to think. There were several things that were very interesting, like the spousal benefit. I did not know that if a spouse has never worked and doesn't qualify for Social Security, they still qualify for the spousal benefit. I did not know that. And that's a big one.
Yeah. I didn't know that either, quite frankly.
No, seriously. We found that out. That was a shocker. Somebody asked that the first night, and then we came back the second night and said, by the way, found this out.
Yeah, one of the things that we've learned about being financial planners is a suitable answer is not, I don't know. They expect you to find this stuff out.
Yeah. I love to tell people when I get up there and get ready to talk about Medicare is, we'll have time for questions at the end, but if I don't know your answer, then I just won't take your question because I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I have done that in front of people. We the first time we ever did a Medicare workshop, first question somebody asked me, I had no idea. And I said, I don't like that question. We're moving on.
He literally did that.
Yeah. It was really funny.
Fortunately, it was his mother, so it was okay.
I know. I wouldn't tell that to her. I wouldn't say that to her.
Yeah. Yeah. People ask sometimes why we don't have a call-in show, and this is one of the reasons why, is because a lot of times when we're asked questions, particularly about something technical like Social Security, we have to look up the answer.
Mm-hmm.
The big reason we don't have a call-in show, though, is because financial planning is very specific. And if you call and say, hey, I'm 55 years old and I've got $50,000 in the bank, what should I do with it? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know enough about you. And so many times we see these cookie cutter recipes where, oh, well, you're 50 years old, so you should put this in a high growth yield stock fund. And, and it may not make any difference at all. The dude may already have a high growth stock yield fund. So that's why we tell people, spend the time to work with a planner and to give he or she the information they need to draw something up. And let me emphasize this again. If your person has not talked to you about Social Security, start the conversation, because it is a significant part of your retirement. Going to be a significant part of mine.
Yeah, I mean, because you've done your figuring between
my what
your ciphering, excuse me, between
technical terms.
Yeah, thank you. Between Social Security and some other guaranteed assets that you have, you're at like 80% of where you want to be right now.
I wouldn't say that high, but it's
maybe not that high. You've got a substantial amount of your income that you need in retirement, or that you want in retirement. More importantly, it's enough that if you had to rely solely on that for a certain number of years, you could do that. And
well,
you'd be
what Ginger and I have is set up so that, because we've got a brilliant financial planner, is set up so that if we lost every stock, every business, if we lost everything except the guaranteed stuff, we've got enough to live on and be semi-comfortable.
Yeah.
And most people, it's not that hard to set it up. You can certainly do that for yourself as well. But again, that's part of being the financial planner aspect, is you come in, and we back into the answer. You tell us what income you want, what assets we have to work with, and then we make the recipe to bring it together. And again, and Social Security is a big part of that recipe. The vast majority of you driving home right now, all two of you that are listening to us, probably don't ever think about Social Security, because you assume that it's not going to be there. And again, if you're 55 and above, it's going to be there. It's going to be a significant part.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about several thousand dollars a month, which is tens of thousands of dollars a year being left on the table because you don't think it's going to be there, so you're just not factoring it in. All right, go on the assumption that it is going to be there. And then if something dramatic changes in the next 10 years, okay, then we can pivot and move. But why would you willingly leave 20, 30, you know, sometimes $40,000 on the table just because you think it's not going to be there. I mean, that's such a penalty to yourself that you don't have to do.
Well, the other pet peeve we have about Social Security is there seems to be a trend among stockbrokers to tell their clients not to take Social Security until 70 because you get a 32% increase if you do that. Now, the one bad thing about Social Security is when you're dead, it's gone. Absolutely gone. There is no continuation of it. And so we encourage you to take Social Security quickly and max out what you're going to get from it. If you wait, you may not get anything.
Let me ask this one quick question before we go.
It better be quick.
If I die and I have never drawn Social Security, can my wife draw my – will she get my Social Security at that point, even though I've never drawn it?
If she's 50 years old and has a dependent child, if she has a disability, or if she's 60 or older, she can draw your Social Security.
Even though I never drew my benefit.
Even though you never drew it. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Look at that timing. That was perfect.
Perfect. Hear the music in my ear, which means our babble time is over with. We appreciate y'all visiting with us today and look forward to chatting with you next week. Until then, this is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.